My name is Father Longenecker. I'm here to lead your parish mission this week, and I'm grateful to Father John and the committee for inviting me here to join you. You know, I'm a convert from the evangelical Protestant faith, and in that religion, our heroes are the missionaries, the men and women who go out into the world, to the far-flung corners of the world, and endure great hardship to preach the gospel to people who've never heard it before. And when I was a young man, I said to the Lord, "Lord, send me as a missionary to the far-flung corners of the world where people are locked in their darkness and their sin, where they're in bondage to their wickedness and where their hearts are rebellious against you." And so he sent me to England. Well, that wasn't enough, and I said later, "Lord, send me where they're really hard-hearted, where they're really locked in their wickedness and their depravity." So he sent me to Vero Beach. No, not really. I am pleased to be here, and this week I'll be sharing with you a few thoughts. But this morning I would like to actually talk about the gospel, where the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, have this remarkable encounter with Christ. And I'd like to share with you three aspects of that encounter, which I find really interesting and also help us to understand why this encounter was so exciting and so dynamic for Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And the first word of the three is the word encounter. They had this meeting with Jesus, and I don't know whether you're like me, but when you hear this gospel about Jesus kind of walking over the hillside down to the Sea of Galilee and talking to these tough fishermen and saying, "The kingdom of God is at hand, repent, believe the gospel, and follow me." And they drop everything and they follow him. Have you ever heard that story and thought, "Come on, really? They quit their job, they left their family, they just set off into the sunset with this guy?" Well, you know, last week's gospel, from the Gospel of John, which the fathers of the church have given us in this order, helps us to understand. Because you might remember in the Gospel of John last week, the same three disciples, three of the four, Peter, Andrew, and John, met Jesus while they were disciples of John the Baptist, right after John the Baptist baptized Jesus. You remember, we heard it last week. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." They go and talk to Jesus, call him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He says, "Come and see." And they go, and we have to assume that they began to listen to his teaching. In Mark's gospel this morning, he says clearly, after John the Baptist had been arrested, Jesus came into Galilee. Ah, so Peter and Andrew, James and John already knew Jesus. They'd already sat at his feet. They already called him Rabbi. No doubt the neighborhood was buzzing with this new teacher, and they understood some of his teaching already. So when Jesus says to them, it's the time of fulfillment, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you can almost read in between the lines that Jesus is saying, "Come on, guys, we've already had some conversations. You've gone back to your work, and I got busy with other things, but now is the time. Now is the time. Let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. Come and follow me." And they make that life-changing decision to do so. So that's the first aspect of the story, to understand that the encounter was not quite as sudden as you would gather if all you read was Mark's gospel, because there's more to it than that. The second word is this word kingdom. Now, if you're like me, you've heard people talk about the kingdom of God and say things like, "The kingdom of God is the rule of justice and peace in the world. And as we make the world a better place, this is the kingdom of God." Or you might have heard someone say, "The kingdom of God is within you," which Jesus does say. "And therefore, the kingdom of God for you is when you find peace of mind and happiness and security." That's okay. But for Peter and Andrew, James and John, the kingdom of God meant something far more than that. And this is why they were so excited and so ready to follow Jesus. And to understand this, we have to understand more about the Old Testament and remember that Peter, Andrew, James, and John were devout Jews. In their world, they had studied the Old Testament scriptures backward and forward. They had to memorize great pieces of the Old Testament. They were Bible believers. They knew the Word of God. And one of the aspects of the Old Testament that scholars tell us was very interesting to the Jews of Jesus' time was the prophecy of Daniel. Now, Daniel lived about 500 years before Jesus, and he lived in Babylon. After Jerusalem had been destroyed, he was one of those who was taken to Babylon. And he saw in his prophecy, in his vision, four great empires. The one in which he already lived, the Babylonian Empire. But he also could see into the future, and there was another one that came along, which was the Persian Empire. And the third was the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. And the fourth was the Roman Empire. Now, Daniel said that during the time of the fourth empire, a little kingdom would begin. A little kingdom would begin like a little pebble, which would grow to be a great mountain and would eventually take over the whole world. And this would be the kingdom of God. So, when Jesus came along and said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand, this is the time of fulfillment," Peter and Andrew, James and John, knowing that Old Testament prophecy, were very excited because they'd all been looking for this little kingdom to arrive because they knew that they were living under the fourth empire, the Roman Empire. So when Jesus says, "The kingdom is at hand," they're ready to say, "Wow, during our time, this is taking place. The prophecy is being fulfilled." So they were excited to hear Jesus' word, "the kingdom." So we have the encounter, we have the kingdom. The third word is the call. Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now again, we've probably heard the preaching point before, that Jesus meets them where they are as fishermen, and he amplifies and takes them on to a higher level to be fishers of men. And that he meets us where we are and takes us where we need to be. But for Peter and Andrew, James and John, again, there was another secret level of meaning. And we can only understand it by learning more about the Old Testament. Because in the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah preached at a time when the 10 tribes of Israel had been dispersed by being conquered all over the ancient world. They disappeared into history. And Jeremiah, the prophet, said, "One day the Lord will gather them all back again like lost sheep. He will gather them back into the fold. He will reach out and find those who are lost and rescue them and bring them home." And then at the end of that prophecy, speaking for the Lord, Jeremiah says, "And I will send out among them fishermen." Ha! Peter and Andrew, James and John would have known that verse too. So when Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men," they understood he wants us to be the fishermen that Jeremiah prophesied, to go out and help to gather in all of the lost flock of the all the lost sheep of the flock of Israel. And when you realize how these fishermen worked, they didn't use a fishing rod and a reel. They used a net in which they cast it out and then they drew it in to draw as many as possible. And so when we see these three points of the encounter, the kingdom, and the call, we ask ourselves, what is the application for me here today? Well, with the encounter, we'd understand that Jesus wants to meet each one of us face to face. And brothers and sisters, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you wouldn't be here this morning, except that you want to be, then sooner or later, if it hasn't already happened, you will have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. He'll come and find you, just like he went and found Peter and Andrew, James and John. And he will meet you where you are and invite you to follow him where you need to be. So for some people, that encounter happens when they're little children, sometimes only on their deathbed. But it will happen if you're one of the baptized. Furthermore, part of that call is Jesus' words, repent and believe in the gospel. And when we hear the word repentance, we very often think that means, oh, I have to say that I'm a sinner and a worm and just a really terrible person who's done a lot of bad things. Well, it's more than that. Repentance is having the attitude of heart and mind where we realize we don't know everything, when we realize that we aren't perfect yet, when we realize we're still a work in progress, and we call on God's help and God's grace that we might go further on that journey. That's what repentance is, to have that kind of heart and mind all the time. And that's not a bad thing. It's actually a joyful and a liberating state of mind and heart. The next thing is to understand what the kingdom is today. And I wonder, have you ever thought of it like this? Some people say, oh, the kingdom is this creating peace and justice in the world, and that's fine. Or the kingdom is finding peace in your heart, and that's good. But have you ever thought that Jesus really did create a kingdom here on earth? A kingdom with a bit of territory? A kingdom with a monarch? A kingdom with embassies and ambassadors? A kingdom with land and territory and buildings? A kingdom even with paperwork and law and rules? It's the Catholic Church. Think about it. Over in Rome, there's that little bit of territory. And Jesus the King, when he spoke to Peter in the gospel, gave him the keys of the kingdom. The keys are a symbol of Peter being appointed as the steward or the prime minister of the kingdom to rule the kingdom on the king's behalf when he's absent. And there, the successor of Peter still exists, living just a few hundred yards away up from where Peter was crucified and buried. Isn't that awesome? He's called Pope Francis. And there's an embassy of this kingdom right here in Vero Beach, St. John of the Cross, with buildings and with land and with an ambassador, your pastor, and your bishop. And you, therefore, are members and citizens of that kingdom. And it's part of your call and part of my call to be the fishers of men and to continue to build that kingdom here on earth. Of course, the kingdom is greater than the physical Catholic Church. It's a spiritual and eternal kingdom as well, but it is actually a kingdom which is here and now, as well as there and then. And so I'll invite you this week to come and share in our parish mission. On the first night, on Monday at 7, I'll be sharing my conversion story, how I went from being an evangelical Christian to an Anglican living in England and then coming back eventually to be ordained as a Catholic priest and to be part of that kingdom. On Tuesday evening, we'll have a presentation about 12 philosophies or ways of thought in modern America which undermine our status and undermine our Catholic faith and weaken our Catholic commitment. And then on Wednesday evening, we're going to talk about what we can do about it and how together we can improve and strengthen our commitment to Christ and his kingdom. But until then, here we are at the Eucharist, where the King calls us for that encounter with him, and where we meet him face to face, and we hear his call, only here under the appearance of bread and wine. Amen.